top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the midday news for today, Monday, February 19th. In the headlines, a memorial vigil honoring late media personality Fadina Frampton draws outpouring of support and love from the community at large, regional, from persons she impacted and with whom she interacted.
Big Station, Q95DA.
Grenada's National Disaster Management Agency activates its oil spill hazard specific protocol and engage the Trinidad government about the potential impact of an oil spill in Tobago on the Spice Island.
Q, top of the hour.
And New York Attorney General Letitia James said no one is above the law.
Local.
After Georgia ordered former President Donald Trump's company to pay $354.9 million for fraudulently overstating its network to deceive lenders. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited.
Switch to a Ready Cash loan today. Bring your loan to us and get 25% off your interest rate. Get flexible payment terms, fast approval, and hassle-free service so you can do all the important things you need with ease. All you need is your ID, proof of address, payslip, job letter, and two references. Visit us in-store or apply online at www.shopcourts.com. Courts Ready Cash. We are ready when you are. Conditions apply.
A memorial vigil for the late Fadina Frampton, which took place on Sunday, witnessed an outpouring of support and affection from numerous individuals who had known or interacted with the esteemed media personality. Dr. Anthony Bernard Frampton, brother of the late Fadina Frampton, revealed that the motivation behind the creation of the In the Spotlight radio show by his sister stemmed from her dissatisfaction with the lack of national acknowledgement for their late father's significant contributions to broadcasting and community development.
Fadina dedicated her life to making Dominica better. She was a member of the Dominica Red Cross, the Dominica Rotary Club, and Toastmasters International. She adopted a number of charitable causes, such as the Rosa Primary School, and even created her own. She was a source of pride for our family. I mean, she named her youngest brother Lyndon's daughter, Linnell. One of the most tragic moments in Fadina's life was the passing of her dad in 2012. The lack of national recognition given to her father's contribution to broadcasting and community development in the country greatly displeased her, and that's something we spoke about after. And she remained troubled that the nation never got to hear our dad's story. And this was the major inspiration for her creation of the In the Spotlight radio program, which she hosted on Q95. The program was not only a national favorite, but a movement. A movement to recognize and celebrate forgotten or ignored Dominican heroes and icons. And naturally, since it was Fadina's show, of course, it at times became a conduit for getting help for those in need and to raise awareness of issues she viewed as important to her people. One of the proudest moments of Fadina's life was the moment she became a student of the University of the West Indies. In 2020, Fadina finally realized the long-deferred dream of pursuing a higher education. I remember this vividly because this was the longest and most emotional conversations I've had with her as adult siblings. She was so happy and so expectant, so hopeful. And I knew she was entering a new exciting phase of her career. Fadina was a beautiful soul, a shining angel who dedicated her life to beaming light and upliftment wherever her voice and smile could reach.
Dr. Anthony Frampton, brother of the late Fadina Frampton. Meantime, Miss Sharon Jamat, country manager of Flow Dominica, praised the late Fadina's dedication to excellence during her time at the company. Additionally, Jamat mentioned that a former country manager shared his encounter, describing Fadina as someone who had a profound sense of community and a strong passion for aiding others.
In her role as Senior Communications and Marketing Executive, Fredina demonstrated an unwavering commitment to excellence in all aspects of her work. She tirelessly championed the interests of Flo Dominica, always striving to achieve the highest standards of excellence and professionalism. Her dedication to this company, her company, because it felt like Fredina's company, her colleagues, and her country were unparalleled, and her impact extended beyond the borders of Dominica, as evidenced by our visiting colleague, former country manager Jeffrey Baptiste, shared with me his memories of Fredina from their time together. He spoke of her deep sense of community, her passion for helping others, and her vibrant and respectful disposition, all of which were nurtured from her childhood home. Fredina's love for her country and her commitment in making a difference in the lives of others were evident in everything she did, both at work and in her personal life.
And that was Sharon Jamat, the country manager of Flo Dominica. In the global tapestry of interconnected lives, a remarkable narrative unfolds. One in every 30 individuals worldwide identifies as a migrant, a poignant reflection of the myriad stories that shape our collective human journey. The International Organization for Migration, IOM, shed light on this revelation in 2022, unveiling a spectrum of compelling tales where individuals navigate life's intricate currents. Among the migrants finding their place in this intricate environment are Miracle and Charles, two Nigerian students who embarked on a transformative journey to Dominica in pursuit of their medical education. This is their story.
I'm Nigerian. Yeah, I'm from the south of Nigeria.
I basically grew up in Nigeria. As a part of the Commonwealth country, it wasn't really difficult. So it was pretty easy. It's just the travel that was quite difficult because of the flight connectivity, connections and so on.
To one of naive, because I really did not do a lot of research. And if I never got my flight ticket, I was sitting for 7 years. But I'm going to the Dominican Republic because I did not do my research.
Very interesting. Actually, it took about 2 days to get here. Yeah, from Nigeria to Niger Republic to Brazil to Panama to St. Kitts. Yeah, then Antigua before getting to Dominica.
I have traveled up to left Nigeria to Ethiopia, to Brazil, stayed in Brazil for 12 hours, labor, and then to Panama, and then to St. Martin before I got to Dominica.
I think my mom wanted me to study medicine.
I studied public health. The plan was always medicine.
My dad is an electrical engineer. My mom is a teacher. We had the country started growing up because we were going to the farm. In spite of the fact that my dad, at least, we could say he was in the middle class then. Not rich, but at least in the middle class.
Yeah, some people that come out for maybe greener pastures as well. But me, I was comfortable. I came from a comfortable home. I wish people understood that living home is not, sometimes it's not because things are good or wrong.
I came to study here in Dominica.
Miracle and Charles faced challenges adapting to their new home. They, like many others who moved to a new place, struggled with learning a new language due to language barriers. Despite the initial difficulties, they found things they liked about Dominica. They talked about what they came to enjoy about the island, even though they faced obstacles when they first arrived.
There is a lot of xenophobia. There are a lot of people that will literally tell you, why in my country, go back.
See, they were ignorant at that point in time. And again, something I observed was some people still blame slavery on we, the Africans. So when they see a brother from Africa, they look at you that you're one of those that betrayed them, that sold them into slavery. On this island right now, my best friend is a Dominican. One of the biggest advantage as a married man, as a family man, is the ability to raise my children here. This kind of communal setting in Dominica, it is still a very, very good environment to raise children.
You see crab kalalu?
Yeah.
That's my thing. And I love soups. You see pig foot soup with some pumpkin chow or some beef soup. Oh my God, I cook it now because I love it. Basically, dry cod fish and piping.
So Dominica is somewhere I really love and have no regrets coming here.
Miracle and Charles from Nigeria sharing their migration story. Acting Minister of Tourism Shakira Lockhart-Hippolyte has praised Mass Dominique 2024, stating that it surpassed expectation in terms of participation, organization, and overall impact on Dominica. This year's carnival witnessed a notable rise in visitor numbers, with a total attendance of 4,635 individuals, marking a 12% increase compared to 2023. Among these attendees, 58% or 2,679 arrived by ferry, while the remaining 42% or 1,956 traveled by air.
Mass Dominique 2024 has exceeded our expectations in terms of participation, organization, and overall impact. This year, we witnessed a significant surge in visitor numbers, with the total attendance reaching 4,635, a 12% increase compared to 2023. The majority of these visitors, amounting to 58%, or 2,679, arrived by ferry, while the remaining 42%, or 1,956, traveled by air. Additionally, we introduced two new elements to our celebration: the stadium field crossing as part of the opening parade, and the online voting for the People's Choice Top Contemporary Costume Band Award. Both additions were proven successful, and we look forward to enhancing them further next year. The government of Dominica has demonstrated its unwavering commitment to Mass Dominique 2024, the real Mass, having invested $1 million towards the event. Our government's involvement in Mass Dominique 2024 showcases our dedication to preserving and promoting Dominica's cultural heritage and boosting the local economy.
And that was Acting Minister of Tourism Shakira Lockhart-Hippolyte. President of the United Workers' Party, Lennox Linton, has voiced his support for former Prime Minister Edison James in light of alleged incitement charges dating back to 2017. Linton emphasized James's consistent compliance with his court's obligations, highlighting his punctual attendance of every scheduled hearing. Linton recalled a recent incident on Friday when James was detained. Despite the availability of the bail option, the magistrate displayed reluctance in granting bail. Linton's remarks come amid ongoing legal proceedings against James, who has faced accusations of incitement in a 2017 matter.
Mr. James is before the court for a 2017 matter, mm-hmm. February 2017. So he's been in the court since 2018. It's been 6 years since he's been before the court. Totally and absolutely obedient to the court process. Has never been asked to come to court and not be there. So there is no record, there is no history, there is no practice or habit for Mr. James to say that he will not show up at court if he's required to show up at court. The matter that he's charged for is incitement. We have been in and out of court since 2018. An application was made by Mr. James's lawyer for no case submission. He said, listen, there's no case against my client. You should drop it. The magistrate hears the application and decides, no, this matter must go forward. So he dismisses the no case application and then says, okay, I am committing the gentleman to trial by jury. And then he moves from that to, I am committing him to prison.
He said that?
Yeah, I'm committing him to prison. Okay, now.
Linton elaborated that there was a debate between James's legal representative and the magistrate regarding the approval of bail for Mr. James. He raised concerns about the magistrate's reluctance to grant bail, despite it being an available option.
Bail is available to Mr. James. The lawyer for Mr. James is indicating to the magistrate, well, I'm applying for bail for my client. And the magistrate then says, well, show me where in the law I can do anything but what I'm doing right now, which is commit him to prison. And then there's a little back and forth going on in the court, and then he rises and he says, the court is, he stands down the court and he asks the officer to take Mr. James to the cell. At that point, I'm shocked, I'm flabbergasted, because I'm saying, well, what is the issue with bail? What is the issue with granting Mr. James bail if now he has to face trial in the high court? Mm-hmm. By jury. What is the problem with the bail? So then I don't know what or how the good sense prevailed. And then there seems to be a change of heart after Mr. James is sitting down there and the news runs around the world that he is being committed to prison. Yeah. Then there's a change of heart. They say, okay, we will hear a bail application. So at that point, a couple of us get busy trying to get a few sureties and so on to the court compound for the process of the bail application. And then it is done. And this thing was so simple. You wonder, why is it that Mr. James had to be put through the embarrassment of being placed in the cell in the first place? What was that about?
President of the United Workers' Party, Lennox Linton. In other news, Grenada's National Disaster Management Agency announced that it has reached out to the Trinidadian government to assess the potential impact of an oil spill in Tobago on Grenada, referred to as the Spice Island. As a precautionary measure, elements of the oil spill hazard specific protocol have been activated. Additionally, NADEM has initiated communication with the CARICOM Disaster Emergency Management Agency CIDEMA and other local and regional partners pending an official report from Trinidad and Tobago. A National Oil Spill Committee meeting was convened last week to brief members on response plans. NAMDAM stated its commitment to closely monitoring the situation in Tobago, situated 145 kilometers south of Grenada. Trinidad authorities have been actively working to contain and clean up the spill since oil began washing ashore on Tobago's coastline on February 7th. The petrochemical leakage originated from a barge that overturned near the coastline, reportedly while being towed from Panama to Guyana by a tugboat named Solo Creed. Efforts to locate the crew of both the barge and tugboat have so far been unsuccessful, according to Trinidadian Coast Guard officials. And in a significant blow to former U.S. President Donald Trump, a New York judge ruled on Friday that he must pay $354.9 million in penalties for falsely inflating his company's network to deceive lenders. The decision delivered by Justice Arthur Aragon after a continuous three-month trial in Manhattan represents another legal setback for Trump and poses a threat to his real estate empire. Reuters News Agency has more.
Today, justice has been served. Today, we prove that no one is above the law.
New York Attorney General Letitia James welcomed a judge's ruling ordering former U.S. President Donald Trump to pay $354.9 million in penalties for fraudulently overstating his net worth to dupe lenders.
For years, Donald Trump engaged in deceptive business practices and tremendous fraud. Donald Trump falsely, knowingly inflated his net worth by billions of dollars to unjustly enrich himself, his family, and to cheat the system.
After a contentious three-month trial in Manhattan, Justice Arthur Engoron banned Trump, who is running to regain the presidency this year, from serving as an officer or director of any New York corporation for 3 years. The judge also ordered Trump's adult sons, Don Jr. and Eric, to pay peace while barring them from helming New York companies for a shorter period. Trump's lawyer vowed to appeal.
I just want to say this. You build a great company. There was no fraud. The banks all got their money, 100%.
This is a New York case, so this order just applies to New York. Trump and his family members, they can still conduct business in Florida, other states, even other countries.
Federal prosecutor Nima Ramani.
This is going to be a significant hit to Donald Trump's pocket. It's rare for the attorney general to go after someone, but Trump is no ordinary defendant. This is someone that has thumbed his nose at our civil and criminal justice system. And it's really his antics caused Judge Engoron to slam him and fine him so much.
Meanwhile, Trump is under indictment in four criminal cases, including two cases about efforts to subvert his 2020 election defeat, and one in New York related to hush money payments he made to an adult film star. The judge overseeing that case on Thursday set a March 25th trial date. Trump has pleaded not guilty in all four cases.
That's the media news, and here's a recap of the headlines. A memorial vigil honoring lead media personality Fadina Frampton draws outpouring of support and love from the community at large.
It happens.
From persons she impacted and with whom she interacted.
95, the big stage.
Grenada's National Disaster Management Agency activates its oil spill hazard specific protocol and engaged the Trinidad government about the potential impact of an oil spill in Tobago on the Spice Island. And New York Attorney General Letitia James said no one is above the law after a judge ordered former President Donald Trump's company to pay $354.9 million for fraudulently overstating its net worth to deceive lenders. The news was brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. I am Felicin Valmond.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station.